For the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and trouble, though the mountain shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What a wonderful book. What a wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm glad to see all of you here today, you charter members. God bless you. All of those 66 years. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't God good? An awesome God we serve today. Well, the runway lights are flashing, so we're going to get airborne. Open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 23. As you're finding your place in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious, and perfect and pure and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. Amen. I'm going to read from Luke 23, just one verse, and that will be verse number 33. I hope you'll listen to it prayerfully after we pray. Father, we thank thee for the book. Thank you for 66 years at Worth Baptist Church. Wonderful things that you have accomplished. May your name be glorified today. May souls come to know Christ. May hearts be blessed and revived and turned toward thee in this hour. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Luke 23, verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Today, Sunday, March the 1st, 2020, is an historic day in the long and illustrious history of Worth Baptist Church. 66 years in business for God. God has laid it on my heart on this particular day more than in the other years that I preached on anniversary, and that's been, I don't know, 50 or 60 years. I'm going back to the beginning. God has blessed me above all that I could have dreamed of for being a part of this church for 61 of its 66 years. Isn't God good? I remember in 1954 when my brother Bob gathered that little handful of people in his front room and organized the church, and not long after rented a storefront building on Wichita Street. I remember following that, Bob led the congregation to purchase a frame church building on Wilbarger Street. God blessed, souls were saved, the church grew. I remember when the brick sanctuary was built. And by the way, would you believe they put me on the roof to nail on shingles on that building? Wow. It's still standing, by the way. I remember November 1961 when Bob was called to pastor the Baptist Tabernacle in Danville, Virginia, upon the death of our father. I remember the next month, December 1961, when the church extended a call to me to become the pastor. I was installed as the pastor officially on the second Sunday of January in 1962. I distinctly remember my first message as pastor. God is looking for a man. I believe he found him. I remember that we purchased several houses in the community to accommodate our fast-growing Sunday school. I remember those cold winter mornings when I came down to the church on Wilbarger Street and turned on 25 or 30 gas heaters. These are that you set on the floor, you know, around here and yonder and there. And then those hot days in the summer when I turned on 25 or 30 swamp boxes, the water coolers, they are better named, to cool the church building. I remember being in Dallas on the day that President Kennedy was assassinated. I was there to secure a loan in the amount of $100,000 to build a Sunday school unit. We secured the loan, and soon after we built a 10,000 square foot Sunday school building. I remember when we built this building after we had outgrown the facilities over there. We purchased the 14 acres here, and then soon after that, in 1975 and 1976, the Lord led us to build this building at the cost of $1.1 million. Now, in the mid-70s, that was a lot of money. That's pretty good change today. Wouldn't you say, Brother Rigsby? Well, you ought to know. It would be like 5 or 6 million today. But God bless. Oh, and by the way, I laid the part of the first row of the foundation on that south wall, and wonder of wonders, it's still standing. I'm a roofer and a bricklayer, among some other things. I remember when we built a family life center across the way. It cost us a little over $500,000. Every penny of it was paid the day we entered and occupied that building. God is good. I remember the year of the Bible when the members of the church listened to the Bible on cassette tapes. And after that, we had the greatest revival meeting it was ever my privilege to be a part of with Evangelist Tim Lee. I remember the outstanding growth that God gave us year after year, the multitudes of souls that came to know Christ. I remember the baptismal services. I remember baptizing converts from the red light district in Fort Worth, some dear women that Brother Tom Humphreys won to the Lord, brought them into the church. Somebody said, would you put them in your baptistry? I sure would, quick as I would you or anybody else. God loves those out of the red light district too. But all the way from them to the son of the president of the Dallas Theological Seminary. God blessed us in so many ways. I remember Sunday, April the 6th, 1997, the day I retired after 35 years as pastor. I remember the same day that Dr. Weaver was installed as pastor and for almost 19 years faithfully served this great church. During his ministry, many souls were saved and baptized. They underwent a remodeling program at the cost of more than $1 million. I remember when Dr. Weaver retired in the church called Pastor Gillett, who is now, I believe, in your fifth year. What a pastor. What a preacher. What an anointed man of God. Come up here, Brother Gillett. Stand with me for a moment. As most of you know, God did not bless Helen and me with any children. But Brother Gillett, may I call you Tyler for this just one moment? I never referred to anything except pastor. He's my pastor. Can you imagine what a young pastor like this feels like when he stands up to preach with two old codgers like Willie Weaver and Raymond Barber sitting here at his feet? To listen to him preach, but he's never intimidated. But Tyler, if I had a son, I'd want him to be just like you. God bless you, brother. If I were asked this morning to give one verse of scripture that would describe or summarize these 66 years, it would be Psalm 40 and verse number 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Well, what's it all about? I hasten to tell you, it's not all about what Bob Barber or Raymond Barber or Willie Weaver or Tyler Gillett have done in the city of Fort Worth since 1954. It's all about what Jesus Christ did on the cross outside the city of Jerusalem about the year 33 A.D., It's not all about the prosperous place that we call the Metroplex, where teeming millions of people run to and fro every day. It's all about a deserted, lonely hill where one apostle by the name of John the Beloved and a few broken-hearted women stood by and watched as their blessed Lord was brutally crucified and nailed to a Roman cross. It is not all about the number of people that Worth Baptist Church has registered in its attendance. Oh, no, no, no. It's all about the many lost sinners that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's not all about the money that Worth Baptist Church has received in its offerings, and that's been multiplied millions of dollars. And by the way, to my knowledge, in 66 years, there has never been one past due bill mailed to this church. Not one. I don't know of many churches, and I say this humbly, that has that same record. Not one. It's not all about the tremendous price that some of you have paid to keep this church going. It's all about the price that Jesus paid to save Adam's wretched, ruined, rebellious race from eternal death and from damnation and destruction in hell. That's a literal place burning with fire and brimstone. Now that leads me into my message. That's just been my introduction. I've entitled the message for this momentous occasion, What's It All About? And I say to you, it's really all about what Dr. Luke wrote in my text in Luke 23 and verse 33. Please listen again carefully. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Underscore those four words. Those four words changed the world. There, they crucified him. It's really all about then what took place at a place called Calvary, the place of a skull. Philip Bliss wrote, "Lifted up was he to die. It is finished," was his cry. "Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior." Martin Luther, the reformer, said, "The scripture teaches nothing but the cross." Sam Pete Jones, the circuit-riding Methodist preacher of yesteryear, said, "The cross is the emblem of God's heartbreak over a world gone astray." Isaac Watts penned these words, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, blood and sorrow flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." Out of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, I have highlighted three words. By the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, the cross is the focal point of Christianity. It is the hallmark of our Christian faith. If you took the cross out of the New Testament, you would have no emblem of suffering. You would have no salvation for the sinner. You would have no roadblock to hell and no gateway to heaven. All you would have left behind would be the skeletal remains of another religious book that spelled out the tenets of a dead religion. What happened at the cross that day from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.? At the cross, an angry, malicious, murderous mob killed Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He was murdered in the first degree. And every courtroom on the planet must label it the crime of the ages. At the cross, the grace of God turned a great tragedy into a great triumph. At the cross, all the blood sacrifices from Adam onward were terminated in one supreme sacrifice, made by the only begotten Son of God, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. At the cross, all human suffering finds its refuge in the bleeding wounds of the Savior. At the cross, Satan was disarmed and sin met its conqueror. At the cross, the death sentence was commuted to life eternal. At the cross, the road to heaven was paved in the blood of the Lamb of God. At the cross, the door to heaven was opened forever. At the cross, Christ was wounded for our transgressions. At the cross, Christ bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. At the cross, Christ was bruised for our iniquities. At the cross, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. At the cross, Christ reconciled sinful man to a holy God. At the cross, Christ opened the prison doors and set the prisoners free. At the cross, Christ condemned sin forever. At the cross, Christ became our substitute and died in our stead. At the cross, Christ tasted death for every man. And by the way, that includes you. At the cross, Christ emptied himself and died in open shame. At the cross, Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. At the cross, God poured the vials of his wrath upon his Son, who cried with agonizing pity, with indescribable pain, and with total abandonment, his fourth cry from the cross: "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" At the cross, God darkened the sun and shook the earth. At the cross, the heel of the Savior bruised the head of the serpent. At the cross, God's message to the world, "I love you," was spelled out in brilliant letters across a sky that was darkened by sin. At the cross, heaven's cameras bent low to capture earth's saddest hour. At the cross, Jesus paid your sin debt, a debt he did not owe, a debt you could not pay. At the cross, Jesus stamped your sin note, paid in full. And he seals your pardon in his own precious, redeeming, atoning blood. The blood, ladies and gentlemen, that shall never, never, never lose its power. At the cross, the darkness of death gave way to the light of life. When 3 days following, Jesus shuffled off the shackles of death and rose from the grave, shouting triumphantly, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, never die." We could gather around the cross this morning and sing, "Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiant glories crowned, his lips with grace o'erflow. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair that filled the heavenly train. He saw me plunged in deep despair and flew to my relief. For me, he bore the shameful cross and carried all my grief. To him I owe my life and breath and all the joys I crave. He makes me triumph over death and saves me from the grave." My sinner friend, would you listen carefully? I hasten to tell you that the only roadblock on your road to hell is the Christ of the cross. Please understand this. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are doomed forever and destined to spend eternity in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. from the lonely and windswept island of Patmos, John wrote, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, my friend, listen. I have a question, a personal question, for every person in this room. Is your name written there? I'm not asking you, is your name on the church roll? Let me tell you something, folks, and please don't misunderstand me. I'm 29 now, and I've never been misunderstood. I don't want to start today. But let me tell you, people are sliding off of church pews going into hell every day. Adrian Rogers, who was one of the greatest preachers in the Southern Baptist Convention, made this statement. I didn't make it. I'm quoting it. You listen carefully. He said 75% of church members give no evidence of having been born again. I didn't say that. But I wonder. I wonder. A welcome mat is out today. And Jesus is pleading with you softly and tenderly. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My friend, I invite you to come to the cross today. Come to Calvary. Come to Christ. Come as you are. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Amen. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There's not a person on the face of God's green earth that the blood of Jesus is not able to cleanse. Not one. Every sin, all the sins, your sins, my sins, everybody's sins, little sins, big sins, secret sins, respectable sins, dirty sins, hideous sins. Now I'm going to presume something that every adult in this congregation will recognize the name Jackie Gleason. Jackie Gleason was the one who played the part of the erstwhile bus driver, Ralph Crandon, on the TV sitcom, The Honeymooners. If you don't remember Jackie, you remember Norton. He was always at the wrong end of the stick. Jackie Gleason starred in 27 movies. Jackie Gleason recorded 65 music albums and won almost every award in stage and film before being inducted into television's Hall of Fame. Jackie Gleason made millions of dollars while making millions of people laugh all over the world. He traveled everywhere he wanted to go. He accumulated everything he wanted to have. He saw everything he wanted to see. Tragically enough, he wasted his fortune on booze, on drugs, on gambling, and on fast women. All of that in a futile attempt to satisfy his sensual appetites. While dying, Mort Saul of station WRC Radio New York asked Jackie Gleason this question. Jackie, as a man who has done it all, Is there anything left you still want to do? Jackie replied, yes, I want to see the face of God. Amen. Almost chuckling, Mort asked him, do you mean you want to go to heaven? I suppose so, replied Gleason. But mostly, I want to see God. Then he quietly said, but I don't know how to get to heaven. What a sad commentary. A man that had everything in the world came down to die and said, I don't know how to get to heaven. My friend, you may be saying at this moment, I want to see God also, but I don't know how to get to heaven. Well, stay tuned and let me tell you how you can get to heaven. There's only one way. Amen. That's the way of the cross. Amen. You must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. You will never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross you miss. Please listen to what Jesus said. This is the most important statement I've made in this message. It falls from the lips of the Savior, the greatest authority the world has ever known. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto God but by me. Hear me, my friend, if you ever get to heaven, if you ever get to see God, you must come the way of the cross. Will you stand with me, please? As we stand together and heads are bowed, altar's open, invitation has begun. You don't have to wait till we sing. You don't have to wait till we pray. If God has spoken to your heart, I want you to just step out of your seat. Right now, don't wait for somebody else to come because somebody else may not come. Now, as our heads are bowed, let me ask. I wonder if there would be those here today who would say by lifted hand, preacher, you've been talking about going by the way of the cross and seeing God's face, going to heaven. But preacher, I don't know how to get to heaven. Is there someone, preacher, that can show me? Yes, there is. There are people right here at this front that will take a Bible and show you the way for you to get to heaven. While our heads are bowed, nobody's going to drag you down the aisle, please. But just to admit that you've never trusted Christ, you've never gotten on the road to heaven by way of the cross, you put your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm lost. I don't know the way to heaven. I don't know how to get there. I've never trusted Christ. Would you put your hand up quietly? You can put it right back down. Nobody's gonna drag you down the aisle. Nobody's going to embarrass you or make a speech or anything like that. Just say by the lifted hand, I'm lost. I know it. I admit it. I don't know how to get to heaven. I want somebody to show me. Would you do that today? Anybody like that? Listen, if I could believe, if you could believe that every person in this room is ready for heaven, you believe something that I wouldn't believe. I wonder if there are those as Christians now. And by the way, coming to church every Sunday and singing in the choir, singing the congregation, giving him the offering, listening to the preacher, that does not make you saved. Only the blood of Jesus can make you saved. Washed in his blood, trusting him, believing him, owning him as your Savior. But how many of you say you're Christians, but your life is just not counting for Christ as it should today? And you'd lift your hand and say, preacher, remember me in your prayer. I want to be closer to Jesus now. I've heard the music. I've heard the message. God's spoken to my heart as a Christian. as a saved person, but I want to be closer to him. I want to dedicate more to him than I have. Would you put your hand up anywhere and everywhere? Oh, yes, God bless you. Are there others? Yes, over here, God bless you. Over here, Everett. Now I'm going to pray, and Corey's going to lead us. An invitation appeal, just as I am, without one plea. O Lamb of God, I come to thee. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would speak to each heart in this room today. I know it's anniversary, and I know we have dinner on the grounds, and I know we have a lot of extras. I know a lot of people are looking around to see if they can find the visitors they invited or whatever, but help them to see that the most important thing is being right with thee. Speak to every heart. There are those who've never trusted a Savior. May they come. If there are those who need to come for a closer walk with thee, dedication to thee, laying something on the altar today, whatever it might be, may they do it now in Jesus' name while we sing.
Just as you are.
Just as you are. God bless these people. God bless you. Someone else? Just as you are. O Lamb of God, I come. All right, Pastor.